I almost wish we had a 30-minute video because we could show you so many of the stories. The one slide that showed four people, you saw four people that it said that they had accepted Christ in our ministry and now they're in heaven. One lady, the lady that was in there, she was 60 years old and had never been saved and came to our ladies' Bible classes with Lori and to the church services, and she says, I don't think I'm saved. And Lori says, let's see what the Bible says. And she says, finally, she says, you know, I believe that's true, but I need to clean up my life first. And that was her hang-up. She thought she had to be better so that God could accept her. And Lori says, Elvira, that was her name. Elvira, you can't. You can't clean up your life. Let God do it. And she prayed to receive Christ, and she was... It was such a funny thing because her daughter says she changed. She never used to listen to anybody, but now she's listening to Lori and James and the Bible. And the others were other people. One was an alcoholic for 42 years. And he came to our church sober one time and accepted Christ. And his own children at his funeral after he died said, I don't recognize those pictures. That's not my dad. My dad was always drunk. But in our church, he was participating with things. He did things. We had an Olympic challenge for everybody to bring visitors, and we were doing like Olympic games and stuff. And he was participating in those things. And his own kids said, that's not my dad. I've never seen that man. That's because they never knew him saved. And you know, at his memorial service, two of his sons and one grandson accepted Christ. I mean, the stories go on. The thing I think that's the best about everything that you are seeing is that you all participate in that. Many of you will never be in Mexico City, but you are in Mexico City because the Bradleys are in Mexico City, and that's how it works. I do want to share one more success story, if you want to call it that. We have some friends. Her name is Elodia. Can you say Elodia? That's a hard name to say, but that's her name. His name is easier, Jose. Everybody can say Jose. And they're a married couple that I've eaten at their little restaurant at the marketplace, and we've known them for years. And when I share Christ with Jose, he says, I've never heard that. I want to hear more. And we invited him to our house. And he never came. But every time he'd say he wanted to hear more, but he never came. And this last July was my, July 8th is my birthday, and Elodia came, and Jose was supposed to come, but he didn't come. But she came to give me a birthday present. It was sweetbreads, which is very famous in Mexico. They bring sweetbreads, and atole. Anybody know what atole is? You know what atole is. It's that rice drink, yeah? And it's good, isn't it? It's really good. And she actually made a version of atole that was made out of the corn. So it was even better. The blue corn that they make the tortillas out of, wow, it was good. And we shared Christ with her, and she got saved. And I told her, hey, you and I share the same birthday. But mine's physical and hers is spiritual, right? And we talked with her through the months, and Jose would never come. And we found out later it was because he's an alcoholic. And they put him in a rehab place, and I said, well, would it be possible for me to visit him? Nope, can't visit him. He can't have any visitors. And I said, well, how long is he going to be? And she says, well, he's actually getting out. And turns out that he got out the Saturday before we came out of Mexico for furlough. So we arranged with her, and she talked to him, and he promised he would be there. And he did come to our house to have lunch with us Sunday. Got out on Saturday, and Sunday was with us in lunch. And I asked him, had he ever prayed to ask forgiveness? And he goes, oh, yeah, lots of times. And I said, what did you say? Just ask him, what did he say? And he mentioned that, you know, you got to say, God, forgive me, and all that kind of stuff. But he never mentioned Jesus. And I said, I see that you're not talking about Jesus. And he goes, well, what does Jesus have to do with it? And I told him. And we shared the gospel with him from the fact that Jesus was God in the flesh that came to die for us. The reason why we can be forgiven is because he gave his life for our sins. And with all of that, he was still a little bit shy of praying to receive Christ. We went back after at a different angle, and he finally got it. And he says, so what you're telling me, it's all about Jesus. I go, you got it. And he says, I want to pray, and I want to thank Jesus for saving me. And he did pray to receive Jesus. And that couple said to us, we would like to study the Bible in a Bible study. And I said, we'll have it when we get back. So that's waiting for us when we get back. Now, I share that story with you, not just to share a really touching story, but to actually help you understand something very important. You know, people sometimes just need a little help. Have you ever seen that? Some people, they just need a little hope. And if you want to turn with me to Acts, the book of Acts, Acts 1:8, we'll read that real quick. Because that's kind of a foundation of what missionaries do and why we do what we do. But I want to talk about the truth of mission work is that we do what we do because they need help. People don't just figure it out. There's nobody in the world that wakes up one morning and says, hey, guess what? I'm going to get saved by have faith in Jesus Christ. They don't do that unless they've had somebody help them come to that knowledge. Acts 1:8, of course, we say that, and it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is what we often call the Great Commission. And it's talking about we have a job to do. Does that make sense? Everybody's in agreement with that. And if we were to read Matthew 28, you'd say, yeah, I'm in agreement with that. We got to make disciples and then we got to baptize them. You know, when we get back, there's 5 people that want to be baptized. Isn't that nice? Amen. I mean, I'm looking forward to getting back because there's stuff happening. And I want to do that. But I want to show you something interesting that I found. God showed me something really interesting in Acts. Acts chapter 8. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. And I want to talk about really 3 people in Acts chapter 8, 9, and 10. And pastor's like, oh boy, we're going to go on a ride today. We'll try to go fast, all right? He asked if I could be done by 9 o'clock. No, what was it? We'll get done. Don't worry. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, and this is Philip the evangelist, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, some of you would say, oh, going to the desert. We don't want to do that, right? Sometimes we don't want to do what God asked us to do. But not Philip. It says, verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was had charge of all her treasure. This is a guy that, honestly, it's interesting. When it talks about eunuchs, those are slaves or something like that that are dedicated to their job. They're not allowed to have family. They're made so that they can't have family. And they're dedicated to their job. It's a very interesting thing that they're talking about a person in the government. And I want to ask you a question. As a person in the government, is he a good guy? A lot of people are shaking their heads, no. Some people are saying, who knows? Some people are saying, I don't know. Let's see what the Bible says about this man who was part of a government. It said, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, wait a minute. He came to Jerusalem to worship God. So does that make him a good guy or a bad guy? Let's read on. It says, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. So now he's sounding like a believer. This guy's sounding like a Christian. He goes and worships, and then he reads his Bible. Guess what? He wasn't saved. But he was close. He needed a little bit of help. And thankfully, God sent Philip to be that help. Listen to what it says. It says, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Do you know what you're reading? And he's like, well, sure. Doesn't everybody? No, that's not what he said. Listen to what he said. He said, how can I except some man should guide me? He desired Philip would come up and sit with him. The place that we read was Isaiah 53. Y'all remember what is in Isaiah 53? The story, the newspaper article about the day Jesus died on the cross. It was written 750 years before Jesus died, but it was a newspaper article pretty close to exactly what happened. And he says in 34, he says, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? It's interesting, he was reading the Bible and didn't get it, didn't understand it. He needed somebody to help him. And God sent somebody to help him. And the neat thing about that is God's got somebody that he wants to send you to help him. Does that make sense? Y'all are just like Philip. God's just waiting for you to be obedient, right? He wants you to go and help people. That's all they need, just a little bit of help. He opened his mouth and began the same scripture that in Isaiah 53 and preached unto him Jesus. They don't tell us what he said, but I'm sure he talked about this is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, came to be with us. He taught and he healed people and he showed himself great. And then he died on the cross for us, was buried for 3 days and rose again. And that's why we baptize people. Now, it doesn't say he said that, but listen what the question was. And they went on their way and came in a certain water, and the eunuch says, See here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So he heard about baptism, probably from Philip, and he knew that if I have accepted Christ as my Savior, my next step is to be baptized. Here's water. Why can't I be baptized? Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ. And when he says Jesus Christ, that means Jesus the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, meaning he's the one that came to save us. He believed in Jesus. And they baptized him. The neatest thing about this is just some guy that was willing to go and God showed him exactly what to do. The next person I want to talk about is in chapter 9. 9:1 says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if any he found of any this way, that if he found any of this way, when he says this way, that means the way of Jesus, the followers of Jesus, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem to be tried and probably killed. So the question I have that I asked before, is this a bad guy? And it's interesting because almost all Christians would say, oh, he's a horrible person. But if you ask Jews that, they'd say, oh, he's a good guy. Why could we have such a difference of opinion on that? He's either a good guy or not. I submit to you that he wasn't a bad guy. He was confused, and he needed a little help. And it's interesting, it says that as he was on his journey to Damascus, suddenly there shined, in verse 3, shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, this is interesting. He recognized him as the Lord. He recognized him as Lord. He says, who art thou, Lord? The problem that Saul had, he wasn't a bad guy. He was very devout. He was jealous for his God. He was jealous for his faith. He'd be like somebody saying, oh, this is the best church in the world, right? Jealous for his church. But he was messed up because he didn't know Jesus. That's all was his problem. He needed to know Jesus. And it says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's an old saying for those that were farmers. You understand, they had an ox and they had an ox goad and they'd try to poke him to guide him. How many of you have ever been poked by Jesus? He's trying to guide you. He has been. You can tell. I've been guided by Jesus a couple of times when I wasn't obedient. That's what he's talking about. When the ox doesn't want to do it, he just kicks at it. You know what? When we're like that, we're not useful to God. But if we would just submit, God can use us for doing incredible things. He trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now wait a minute. This was Jesus talking to him. Jesus could have told him everything he needed to do. Jesus could have said, well, this is what you're going to do. I'm going to show you some stuff, and you're going to be the best thing ever, and you're going to write half the New Testament. But he didn't. He says, go, and some person is going to talk to you and tell you about what you're supposed to do. And then you look in Acts 9:10, and it says, there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and he said, I'm the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, rise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And I'm pretty sure he stopped and swallowed twice and says, I know who that is. I'm not going to go see him. Why not? The fact is he didn't know that Saul had had this encounter with God. But God is going to use somebody to help Saul know what to do. He's going to heal his sight. He's going to show him that this is Jesus. He's going to talk to him about Jesus. And he's going to be baptized because he's accepted Christ. Now, some people say Paul himself said he accepted Christ. He got saved in the road. But he didn't know enough. What does the Great Commission say? Make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. Teach them. So he needed to have a little help, didn't he? Everybody needs a little help. I had to have a little help. Did you have to have a little help? Do you remember who it was that helped you? There you go. Do you remember who it was that helped you? How many of you remember who it was that helped you? It's amazing when you recognize that. We all needed somebody to help us. The third person I want us to look at. In Acts 10, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, this is, in military terms, this guy's in the special forces. Anybody that used to be in the military here? I'm sure there's a couple of you. Special forces. This is the group of people that they would send in if there's trouble, and they'd clean it up. There wouldn't be any trouble after they were there. So does that make him a bad guy, a military man, a policeman? You ever heard somebody say that? Oh, he's police, he's bad. You know what? That's not true. What does the Bible say about this man who was in charge of 100 of the best troops ever to go in and stop the problems? It says, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. Ooh, he feared God with all his house. Was he saved? Which gave much alms to the people. He was very generous. Does that mean he was saved? If somebody does good works, does that make them saved? And prayed to God always. This is a guy that was very religious. As a matter of fact, all three of these guys were very religious. You can probably think of people that aren't saved, and they're usually very religious. Isn't that something? They have their own religion. They have their own way of doing things. They say, oh, well, I talk to God all the time. And you say, yeah, but do you do it God's way? Sometimes they don't. Now, this man saw in a vision that somebody was going to help him. He needed to send somebody to Joppa, and he's going to find Peter, and they're going to bring him back. And God told him to do all this so that he can know what to do. Says, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose name is surname is Peter. And in verse 24, it says, and the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, returning from Joppa, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. This is a guy that in truth wants to know what God wants. And not only does he want to know what God wants for him, he wants all his friends and family to know what God wants to know. Or wants to tell him. Are we like that? How many of you have invited your friends and family to church? Because I know in this church you hear from the Word of God. God speaks through your pastor, through the preachers here. I know it. I've been here. Wouldn't you think that it would be cool to bring all your friends and relatives here? We saw a guy that was in, at the store down the street. I bought a soda and mentioned that we were missionaries, and he goes, "Do you have a card that shows where your church is?" And I gave him a tract that has our church name on it. And I said, "We're going to be presenting right down there. You can come. You can come anytime." I don't see him here. If he's here, then I'm sorry, I don't see him. Wouldn't it be neat if we could invite the whole world and they'd be here? You'd have to build another auditorium. But he invited all his friends. Now, sometimes people are a little different when they're very religious. Look at what happens in verse 25. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Are we supposed to worship the preachers and the pastors or the missionaries? No, you're not supposed to do that. Why? What did Peter say? It says, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." You know what? God uses everybody to do a lot of things. And if you're faithful in what he has you to do, you're just as special in God's eyes as a pastor. Just as special as in God's eyes as a missionary. Now, if we didn't go and do what we were supposed to do, it'd be the same as you not doing what you're supposed to do. God's a little disappointed when we don't follow through what he's asked us to do. Anyway, in verse 27 it says, "And he talked with them and went in and found many that were come together." As we can read down this remaining part of this chapter, Peter was starting to tell them about Jesus. And it's interesting what he says. "We are witnesses of these things," verse 39, "which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem." And then he says, "whom they slew and hanged on a tree." I'm thinking, if I was listening to a story about some hero and all of a sudden they said, "yeah, and he died," you're like, "oh, that was kind of a twist." But they didn't understand. That was his job. That was his purpose of coming, so that he could be the sacrifice that we needed to be saved. So when Peter's talking about this, it says not only that, but God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but chosen witnesses like us. That's what he's saying. Even to us. "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." Jesus is the one that's going to be our judge. Did you ever wonder why? It's because he's the one that died for us. He's the guy that paid the price. He's the one that gets to judge us. Interestingly enough, for the Jewish people back then, and especially in the first part of the New Testament, first part of Acts, sign gifts were given, and those sign gifts were given so that you could verify that that was somebody who really got saved, genuinely got saved. And the Jews needed signs because they thought they were the only ones that could be saved. And here we have a whole bunch of Gentiles, and they received the Holy Ghost. And they're like, "what? They're not Jews. How did that happen?" Isn't that funny how that works? God actually saves whoever he wants to save. It's not my thinking. God's the one that does this. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Listen, so many people around the world, so many people, we'll say in Hazlitt, in Texas, need just a little bit of help. That's why you have so many flags around here, because there's people in every one of these countries that need a little help. They need somebody to come along and help them understand how to relate Jesus to their salvation. And when you get good missionaries that are out there preaching the word and teaching them and helping them understand, you know what happens? People get saved. People get saved. And then you have to baptize them when you get back. I want you right now, I want you to think of somebody, and you maybe think of 20 people that you know aren't saved. Right now, think of them really good so you can see their face in your memory, in your mind. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think of these people, I would ask that you would help them. Open their ears, open their hearts, that they might receive your word. And I pray that you would help each one of us to be willing, not just willing, but to be boldly going and telling them about Jesus, that little bit of help they need to be saved. Help us to be willing and able to do that, Lord. Lord, we put all these people in, here in this church in your hands so that you can guide us, each one, that we can see more fruit coming. Every week, people are visiting, and I pray that you can help them to hear your word and accept Christ as Savior. As we go back, Lord, I pray that you would help us to expand the ministry, share the gospel with so many, and as they accept Christ, that's on this account. In this church here, so many precious souls are sacrificing to send us. Thank you, Lord, for that. I pray in Jesus' name.